Hey everyone, this is Steve. Quick announcement before we start the HR Happy Hour show. Last week I was a guest on the Win-Win at Work radio show that's broadcast on WSCA 106.1 FM in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and it's hosted by Michael Cameron and Christy Baxter. I had a great time on the show. It was a fun appearance, and we thought we would replay that appearance on the Win-Win at Work radio show here on today's episode of the HR Happy Hour. Trish and I will be back next week with some new shows and some fun new announcements as well. We're super excited about where the HR Happy Hour is going and hope you come along with us. So with that said, let's get on with the show.
You're listening to the HR Happy Hour show with hosts Steve Bowes and Trish McFarland. Since 2009, the HR Happy Hour show has been bringing you thought leaders, workplace and technology experts, academics, and more to take on the most important and interesting topics impacting work, human resources, technology, and the workplace. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net.
Christy Baxter. He is Michael Cameron, your hosts for the Win-Win at Work radio show. We'll discover what makes a workplace great by interviewing CEOs and other executives who've created a dynamic workplace. We'll also hear from top thought leaders in the fields of leadership, employee engagement, hiring and retention, career coaching, personal branding, and all things related. What works and what resonates with employees and what doesn't. We may not have all the answers, but Win-Win at Work has one very simple goal: help you and your employer win in the workplace and in the marketplace. Welcome to Win-Win at Work, the radio show.
Good morning and welcome to the Win-Win at Work radio show. I'm Christy Baxter along with my co-host Michael Cameron. Thank you for listening today. We appreciate it. We have a great guest on today. Our guest is Steve Bowes. Steve is the co-founder of H3 HR Advisors. He is also a blog talk radio show host himself. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Hey, thanks very much, Christy. I'm thrilled to be here. Thanks so much.
So, you know what, tell us a little bit about your background, because you have kind of a more traditional, like, Oracle background and kind of where you've gone from there. And then tell us a little bit about H3 HR Advisors and what you guys do.
Yeah, I'm happy to. Sure. I have a background in finance and accounting, of all things, right? That's how I started. And I began my career doing financial analysis and work for some big corporations. And then at some point they said, you know what, we need new finance and accounting systems, and we think you'd be good at helping us implement them. So I kind of transitioned from finance and accounting and into information systems and did a lot of information systems work in that finance and ERP domain. Over time, I shifted into doing that same kind of work in HR systems, so payroll systems, HRIS systems, and then getting into the more advanced things like workforce planning, talent management, recruiting, so on and so forth. So it's, you know, kind of a transition for me over my career. Now, I started doing some teaching around HR and HR technology topics, some writing and some speaking. And as you mentioned, I have a podcast as well that I had for 8 or 9 years that I co-host with my business partner, Trish McFarland, to talk about HR, workforce, workplace tech, and so on. So H3 HR Advisors, as I said, is a company that I work with Trish McFarland on. We do things like advisory support, helping companies with their HR technology strategies. We also do some work with some vendors in the space as well, helping them figure out their best strategies for product management, marketing, reaching their audiences as well. So it's a number of different things. It's really exciting. And one last thing I do, I'll mention Christy real quick, is I program chair a conference called the HR Technology Conference, which is the largest HR technology conference in the world. Happens every year in October, and we're super excited about what we have going on at that event as well.
You know, Steve, We talked a little bit before the show about this being an amazing time when it comes to a lot of positive change that's going on in the workplace, really on a global level. And in so many ways, I think since you spent a lot of your time and energy working in kind of the HR space, you know, one of the things that I feel is that this is an amazing opportunity these times for HR professionals, especially the ones who really want to become leaders within their companies. Because, you know, more and more CEOs are getting pressure from their board or their employees to create workplace cultures that will really engage their employees. And I really feel that HR folks are stepping up and starting to realize, you know what, I have to develop a business partnership with the C-suite, with hiring managers, that we're all in this together as far as developing a workplace culture that engages and retains top talent, that by developing performance management initiatives where employees can grow and have the ability to be mentored or have the ability to go through some training programs that are going to help their cause and the company's cause. And finally, the whole talent acquisition strategy is changing dramatically. So I think this is a great time for HR to kind of step beyond the compliance side or the administration side of things and really become true workplace thought leaders. And I think the ones that are able to make that transition are going to go off and do some great things.
Yeah, I have to agree, Michael. And I think from where I sit, and I focus primarily on that intersection of technology and human resources and the technologies that are helping, supporting, and enabling these kinds of transformations that you describe, I'd have to say it is a very exciting time from that perspective as well. If you look at the levels of investment and innovation and just the sheer number of startups, I do a lot of work as part of programming this HR technology conference that I mentioned. A big part of that conference is the discovery and introduction of tech startup companies that are focusing on various elements of workplace interactions and the employee experience. And there's so many innovative companies emerging in the space. The level of investment, sheer dollar level of investment from venture capital and private equity and so on into the HR technology space is astronomical. It was all-time record high in 2015, and it's probably going to surpass that in 2016. So there's tremendous energy, investment, and excitement in the space, in the technology space, and that's helping, actually, HR leaders in many companies make the transition that you speak of from getting past that, you know, let's just worry about getting the payroll run on time and making sure we're filing all our regulatory filings accurately, which is also important, of course, but really where HR leaders can move the needle and become much more relevant and important business partners is in those more strategic areas that you mentioned. So I agree, it's a very exciting time in the space.
So, Steve, you know, I have a question. Kind of, this is more drilling down in the specifics. So, you know, we've kind of talked about the technology piece. So, kind of, how is technology changing recruiting and talent management? And kind of, what specific tools exist in this space? I mean, we all know there's payroll. We all know, you know, a lot of organizations kind of have their internal IS systems. But what kind of, you know, new and exciting toys are in the toy box that people can use with regards to the kind of IT piece of HR?
Yeah, that's a great question, Christina. And there's so many, so I'll try to give a couple of, I think, good examples. Let's start on the recruiting space for one. A couple of things come to mind. One is an increased focus on the marketing aspect of recruiting, right? So as the labor market has improved, right? So let's just talk about here in the U.S. for now. Right? As the labor market has improved over the last 5 or 7 years subsequent to the recession, the battle for the best talent, right, has become more acute and more difficult for many firms. And that's not just in, say, the things we think about, the high-tech jobs or the software developer jobs. That's all across the gamut, right? That's truck drivers, that's construction workers, that's almost everything, right? As the labor market has tightened, companies are having to be more mindful of how they try to attract talent. So there's been an emerging category in the recruitment space around recruitment marketing. So there's been a number of solutions that have been developed over the last few years that help companies, just like marketing companies do, right, and consumer marketers do, reach their audiences with the right messaging, with the right interactions. There are tools now that have become widely adopted in many mid-sized to larger companies primarily that help recruiters manage candidates much like you would manage customers or prospects like in your Salesforce system, right, if you're familiar with that mm-hmm. from a sales side. There's a whole slew of technologies which are just called candidate relationship management tools which help you manage candidates and pools of candidates almost exactly like we manage customers and prospects. So you can hit them with marketing content and recruitment marketing content. You can invite them to participate in events. You can market specific job opportunities to specific groups of candidates that you might have in your database. And additionally, the last thing that's interesting in this area is there are some tools that have emerged that help, that allow the recruiters to engage your own employees in these efforts as well, to create kind of an employee advocacy program to help to leverage the employees' networks, right? So think about it this way, right? If you're looking to hire a really good accountant, right? So what you might do is go to one of the accountants that's already on your team and say, hey, do you know anybody, right, who's a good fit for this job, right, the employee referral process. So tools have emerged to help automate that employee referral aspect of it as well and help organizations better leverage the networks of their internal employees. So those are a few things on the recruitment side that are really exciting right now and have emerged in the last 5 to 7 years.
Interesting, Steve. You know, you're whether it's your experience back at Oracle or currently what you've done with your Happy Hour show that you have, and I know if I recall, you were over in China over the past year or two, and were part of a big event over there for HR professionals. So you're really well connected with the HR community. With that said, Steve, share with us some of the most critical pain points that HR professionals are being confronted with today.
Yeah, super question. As I get around, as you say a little bit, I was just in China. We did the first HR technology conference in China about 3 weeks ago now, which was loads of fun. But actually, curiously, some of the challenges we heard from the Chinese companies and Chinese professionals that we spoke to were very similar to the ones we hear over here as well. But having said that, talent, like I mentioned, right, the tightening labor market and the increased difficulty companies have in attracting and retaining talent, I mean, CEOs always report that as a top concern, right, probably for the last 2 decades. And it's, if anything, it's only getting even tighter. I recently did a little bit of research for something I was writing about some macro labor market trends. And if you look at that, even something as basic as the overall labor force participation rate has come down quite a bit in the United States, right? The actual labor market itself and the people participating in the market is at probably about a 40-year low, right? Again, just sort of illustrating the point that finding talent is getting more difficult. And once you find that talent and engage with that talent and bring them into the organization, of course, retention has always been an issue and continues to be an issue. We heard that in China. I hear that here in the United States. I hear that constantly. And the flip side of that, and you talked about this a little bit, Michael, is the employee engagement and the culture aspect of it. So what are HR leaders trying to do, right, to continue to have their organization be that sought-after place that people want to work and they want to stay? So much of that is culture, as you suggested, and I think that's really true. And one of the things I've heard a lot this year, and will actually be some there'll be some content focused on this at our conference coming up in October, is this idea of let's stop talking about employee engagement so directly, and let's talk about something called the employee experience. I mentioned when I was talking about some of the recruiting technologies that have emerged, that they're reflective of elements of consumer marketing. And I think it's the same thing happening with this idea of the employee experience. If you think about yourself as a consumer of a product or service in your own personal life and how the companies that you purchase from try to interact with you, how to try to support you, how to try to engage you and keep you happy, there's been a lot of conversation this year about how can HR and business leaders, because this really isn't just an HR issue, but how can HR leaders support their organizations and support their employees from this overall experience level? And that's the one thing I've heard plenty this year, and I think we're going to continue to talk about for the remainder of this year.
You know, Steve, I'm curious. You talked about kind of retention as a big issue, and that kind of leads into succession planning as another one. And, I know there's a lot of kind of workplace management systems, but, you know, how are companies succession planning today, given that retention is so low, especially among the millennials? That's a challenge for organizations, and how are they tackling that?
I agree. Yeah, that is a big challenge. So I think what some of the really smart organizations are doing are a couple of things. One is they're being a little bit more explicit in terms of their planning for and the career development opportunities for those people that they really want to engage with and retain. One of the things you see pretty consistently in terms of what employees, especially younger employees, report back about why they would want to stay with a given organization. One of the things is always high on that list is their career prospects, their development. And it's not so much about chasing the next title, right? Chasing the next better title or the next promotion or raise, but it's more about how can this organization support me in my overall or my longer term professional goals, and how do I see myself benefiting from staying here versus taking that other option down the road that I could take fairly easily. So I think organizations that are more explicit in engaging with these talented folks and saying, hey, we do see opportunities for you to do this or that or to move into these different areas and grow yourself professionally. I think that's really important. I think progressive organizations are doing that. If we want to talk a little bit about technology in this area as well, I can comment a little bit about that. One of the sort of subcategories of HR technology that we've seen some growth in the last few years that I've seen personally just from the work I do with HR technology is employee-centric or employee-focused career development applications, whether they are standalone tools or ones that exist as features in a larger kind of talent management system that a company may use. Tools that allow the employee, him or herself, to kind of self-discover a little bit, to take surveys, to take answer questions about their goals and kind of map out or path out their potential career trajectories for them. And some of these tools are really sophisticated that, in addition to displaying to the employee what he or she may be able to do or where they may be able to move in the future, they'll do things like, so here's what other employees in the past have done who have the role that you aspire to, or here are the learning opportunities or the development opportunities that you would need to take advantage of in order to prepare yourself for a given role or to follow a given path. So they're much more interactive, they're more personal, and they help connect the employee to the organization, because the employee can use tools like this and see, wow, the organization kind of does care about me. They'd like to see me advance. They'd like to see me develop, and they're there to help me figure out how to do that. So I think that's another aspect of what really progressive and successful organizations will do with respect to succession planning.
Interesting. You are listening to the Win-Win at Work radio show on WSCA 106.1 FM. We're based out of beautiful Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Steve, if I may, I'd like to put you in the spot a little bit here. Christy and I both feel that you're a thought leader in the HR space, and I know a lot of your expertise is more on the system side, human resource systems, if you will. But
Let's
just imagine that you're the CEO, or what we like to call the CEOs, the Chief Engagement Executive Officers, and of a $20 million venture capital-backed technology company that's growing rapidly, and you have a real need for technology workers, software engineers, and so on and so forth, that we all understand really on a global basis there's a shortage of really good software engineers, if you will. So you're, you know, you have, yeah, you probably have 70 or 80 employees. So you've gone beyond the workplace being a reflection of your personality at that point. I mean, you have a lot more workers now. So, you know, you have to be conscious of a workplace culture and so on and so forth, and a talent acquisition strategy. So what would you recommend to a CEO, or how would you handle, if I had to re-ask the question, how would you handle your talent management strategy with when you're dealing with that kind of a growth and that kind of need for really talented people?
Yeah, that's a super question, and that's one of the primary challenges, right? Organizations of the profile you describe always run up against, right, when they're growing, particularly growing rapidly. I think a couple things come to mind. One is that at a really senior level, whether it's a CEO level, as you described, or you know, COO or whomever, is focusing as much as you still can on that sort of talent identification, hiring process, and engagement with that process as well. Like, it can be difficult for leaders at any size company, but particularly ones that are growing a lot, maybe they're trying to raise money, or whatever's happening, right, to get a little disconnected with the hiring process. There are some famous stories, even in some really big companies, right? I think Google comes to mind for one, I think, is famous, but it's at least for a while where every single person, new hire to the company, had to get at least one interview with one of the co-founders, right, before the new hire was signed off. Some might argue that that would slow down the process too much, especially in a larger company. But the flip side of that is, right, those owners or those co-founders still kept their fingertips on the process in a very, very deliberate and intentional way, which allowed them to really understand the people they were bringing into the company, whether they were aligned with the company's values, whether they thought potentially they'd be a good fit for where the company was going, those kinds of things. So I think part one would be to remain as connected to the hiring process as possible. Second thing I'd mention is maybe a bit of a warning, and maybe a bit different than maybe what some people like to talk about, but I'd say to just be mindful and to be careful as the company scales and grows that you're not hiring only to a formula. Like, there's been tons and tons of debate. I've written about this a lot. In fact, just the other day I wrote about it again, about whether or not cultural fit in the hiring process is kind of the most important thing, or whether or not talent, capability, skills, and background are kind of more important, or how do these two kinds of sometimes competing factors interplay in the hiring process. And I guess I would say to be mindful in any organization, but particularly one that's kind of growing, is to be careful you're not sort of hiring from a cookie-cutter formula, which can result in a company that ends up all kind of thinking the same way and approaching problems the same way and has a similar set of background and experiences, which sometimes limits their view of the world, right, and of the business problems you're trying to challenge. So I'd be very careful about that, and I think about that hard throughout my hiring process, that, hey, am I bringing in enough voices that are willing to challenge us? Am I bringing in people who have different ideas and different backgrounds and can bring things to the table that maybe we haven't had here before, right? So I'd be very, very careful about that as well. Third thing I'll say, and then I'll pause, is to be open to, and quite honestly, companies now don't, many don't have a choice, but to be open to now the way that the workplace is changing and the labor markets are changing in terms of non-traditional work. And by that I mean contractors, consultants, remote workers, right? The best talent for a given job, assuming it's not, you know, you talk about this job is software development, so it's not the kind of job like construction work or service work that has to be sort of in one place. So to be really open to these alternative kinds of work arrangements. You know, I've worked with some of the best people in software in the world, and Romania and India and the Ukraine. I worked with a team once. And so just fantastically talented people all over the world. And to be open as a CEO, as a business leader, to working with the best talent wherever they may be.
I want to come back to the culture versus talent piece and kind of, you know, making sure that you have kind of diversity in thought, if you will. I mean, I think if you're real clear on the values of your organization, you know, just because people can share the same values and have a very different background experience. So in your kind of thinking, which do you put kind of higher in that hierarchy? Is it talent and skill, or is it cultural fit?
Yeah, okay. If I had to pick, I'm going talent and skill, and I'll give you an example. I just wrote about this on my blog last week. I was listening to a podcast, and it had on a gentleman named Chris Sacca, who was one of the early Google employees and is now a pretty famous investor in Twitter and Uber and a couple other places. And he was talking about in the earlier days of Google, he basically said, we just hired for talent. We wanted the smartest people in the world. We tried to get them and put them in a room and then have them figure things out. And he talked about how sometimes you got some bad apples or some bad eggs, or people didn't really fit, or they didn't have great interpersonal skills. Or, you know, often you hear that people will talk about, I would like to hire someone that I'm comfortable going to have a beer with or going to have dinner with, right? And the flip side of that, and when I listened to this interview that they did at Google, they didn't do that at all. They didn't care about that stuff. They just wanted the smartest people in the world. Right, and if they could get them, yeah, a couple of them would probably crash out, but many of them would not, and they could do amazing things just because of the sheer talent level of the organization. So the second example is I'm a huge basketball fan, NBA in particular. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the last 25 years of NBA champions, look at every single team, there's at least one or two players, usually two, players on that championship team who you would consider, this is one of the greatest players who's ever played basketball, right? So, you know, LeBron James and Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson and so on and so on. My theory anyway that I ascribe to the most is you don't win at that level. You don't win championships. You don't become the very best organization in your domain without incredibly talented people. You just can't. There's no amount of culture that can surpass incredibly smart, talented people who were motivated. So anyway, that's where I come down. But I'm certain I could. There's a debate there that.
Well, Steve, let me jump in here because this is a very interesting point. And I'm, you know, great question, Christy. I'm also a very big basketball fan. But let's drill down on what we're talking about here. Say, for example, the Celtics trade for DeMarcus Cousins, who's one of the most talented basketball players on the planet, but emotionally isn't where his skill set is yet, just yet. In other words, his emotional intelligence skills are really lacking. In order for a company to pull off what you just shared with us, hiring the best talent, you need like a Brad Stevens type of leader, team leader, manager, CEO, whatever it may be, who can really bring those people together and connect with them emotionally and really help them get to that next level emotionally to really so you can create a really effective team. I think if you bring all the best talent together and you don't have the right internal leadership, I think there's a big risk that it could all go south on you. What are your thoughts?
I'd agree with that. You know, your example is a good one, right? I would say this. The Celtics, I don't want to make this a basketball show, but I'm happy to. But the Celtics are not going to win the championship with the players they have now. They're not good enough. They're not talented enough. Like, they do have a great coach. They've got a pretty good system. They will not win without two or three more super talented players. I'd agree with you, though, in that if these guys that they bring in are not the right players, they don't have that right sort of emotional makeup yet, they're not really ready to play on a team and sort of at some level sacrifice some individual goals for overall team goals, but without that right leadership, they still won't win. I absolutely agree. So I think there's definitely a combination. I've pitched around this. I've spoken about it a few times too. You guys know the game Rock, Paper, Scissors?
Right? Yep.
Yes.
Yes, I have three kids.
Rock, Paper, Scissors, right?
Yeah.
Whichever one you throw, something else can beat you, right? Rock, Paper, Scissors. So I have a presentation I've given a few times, and I equate the rock, paper, scissors to culture, talent, and strategy. And inside strategy, you could sort of subset leadership as well. And the idea is basically you've got to have all three. They all sort of work together. They have to support each other. And that's the only way you really ultimately can win, right? If you overemphasize one above the other, you know, certain bad things can happen. And without all three sort of working together and without leaders paying attention to all three, ultimately, you can't really be super successful. And I say that about HR leaders as well as just CEOs and business leaders too. So,
great, Steve. Well, listen,
I think it's a great conversation to have. I appreciate that you were able to talk a little bit about the NBA as well.
Yeah, Steve, you know what? You're one of those guests we could spend the whole morning with, so sorry about that. We're at the end of our segment. But listen, great points. Thanks for sharing your thoughts, and continue good fortune with all your business interests and your Happy Hour radio show. And, hey, we'll be in touch. But thanks again, Steve.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me.
All righty. Hey, this is Michael Cameron.
And I'm Christy Baxter.
We're signing off. We'll be on next week at 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Win-Win at Work radio show. And thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to the HR Happy Hour Show, your source for information and conversation on work, the workplace, technology, and more. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net.